This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report, which I'm recording on Monday, March 23rd. So much is happening with the coronavirus. I'm actually doing more podcasts than usual, just trying to get the word out. And today, I'm going to share how some conservative leaders are calling for an investigation into how communist China handled the coronavirus. It's a letter that was sent to President Trump because there are real questions about what happened. And today, at the end of my podcast, I have an exclusive interview with two Americans who are from Taiwan, who have links back to China and have some very interesting perspectives about what really happened and also how the church is responding. This is a podcast you don't want to miss. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone. I've been doing a lot of podcasts about what's going on, including some in mid-February, where I talked to a Chinese leader named Pastor Jay. That's not his real name. I'm trying to conceal his identity. And he gave me some very explosive information, which we really could not verify because, of course, we're not in China. But he was raising questions about things that went on in China. And at the time, we were not hearing much about that in the media. But now U.S. Senator Tom Cotton and others have been raising questions. And now the Media Research Center has sent a formal letter signed by 40 Christian leaders to President Trump asking that an investigation be launched to get to the bottom of this. And I felt it was important enough that I'm going to read you that letter word for word. He said, "Dear Mr. President, we represent virtually the entirety of the conservative movement, but we believe we speak for hundreds of millions in this country and around the world when we ask you to officially investigate the deadly coronavirus. The world needs to know the details behind the spread of this deadly virus so everyone understands exactly how this was started. The world deserves to know who is responsible so future pandemics of this nature can be prevented. As we are sure you're aware, the Chinese government has done everything in its power to blame the United States for the spread of the coronavirus. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Zhao Lingjian, and I'm going to spell it. Of course, it's spelled with English letters. Z-H-A-O, new word, capital L-I-J-I-A-N, plays responsibility on the United States by saying, quote, when did patient zero begin in U.S.? How many people are infected? What are the names of the hospitals? It might be U.S. Army who brought this epidemic to Wuhan. Be transparent. Make public your data. U.S. owe us an explanation." End quote. A few days later, Lin Songtian, China's ambassador to South Africa, said, quote, "Although the epidemic first broke out in China, it did not necessarily mean that the virus is originated from China, let alone made in China," unquote. These statements are astonishing and predictable. It's impossible for us to know the true origin of this virus in China because China has refused to share information. As Senator Tom Cotton has correctly pointed out, there are several possible scenarios about the origin of the Wuhan coronavirus. We do know that the Chinese secrecy and lies have made this crisis far worse. China's outright and extreme politicization of this horrible disease is outrageous, unacceptable, and dangerous. That politicization has already spread panic across the world. The Chinese-led hysteria has roiled markets and disrupted everyday life for millions of Americans and citizens of other countries around the world. As your national security advisor, Robert O'Brien, rightly pointed out, quote, "Unfortunately, rather than using best practices, this outbreak in Wuhan was covered up. There's lots of open source reporting from China, from Chinese nationals, that the doctors involved were either silenced or put in isolation, or that sort of thing, so that the word of this virus could not get out. It probably cost the world community 2 months, unquote. And consider the well-known case of Dr. Li Wenliang, the young Chinese doctor who bravely shared his concerns on December 31, 2019, with a group of colleagues about an unidentified virus with SARS-like symptoms that his patients were exhibiting. As a result of his due diligence, Chinese authorities accused him of spreading, quote, false information, unquote, and that he had, quote, gravely disturbed the social order, unquote. None of this is being reported as it ought to be in American media. Instead, the media are creating panic and blaming your administration. All of this could have been prevented if the Chinese government had merely exercised its responsibility in containing this disease and sharing more information sooner. We therefore respectfully request you consider launching a more formal investigation to uncover the truth. The first step in making sure this never happens again is finding out what happened in the first place. Respectfully, L. Brent Bozell, founder and president, Media Research Center. And then signed by 40 other conservative leaders. I think that letter is very important, and I hope the president and his administration acts on it. And now I'm going to play for you an interview I did with Pastor Jay, who gave me this information on February 12th, some of which we reported. You can check it out on the Charisma Podcast Network. I've done several interviews and podcasts with Pastor Frank Amedia, who is the one who connected me with Pastor Jay and who vouches for his authenticity. And I believe also that that comes through in the interview. Because we couldn't verify everything and because so much of it was speculation, we didn't actually report it. But I contacted Pastor Jay recently to sort of get an update. And I found out that his wife had just gotten back in the country. She had been in Taiwan visiting a sick relative, her father, I believe, and it took her 5 weeks to get back. And so I thought it'd be interesting to interview her. She gave an interesting perspective on what she believes God is doing. And then Pastor Jay goes into some of the things that he talked about with the lab. It's the type of thing the government needs to investigate. But he has a perspective and he has contacts in China that you and I don't have and that most of the media doesn't have. You know, isn't it interesting that when American journalists started asking questions about what was going on, they were expelled? It's even more interesting to me, and perhaps the subject of another podcast, on why, in spite of the communist government kicking out these journalists, the American mainstream media seems to be going along with talking points from the Chinese government on how the virus is much better than it was, where we actually have reason to believe that they are really covering up how bad it was. And also these people saying that it was actually started by people from the American military, which is just, you know, outlandish. But here is my interview with Pastor Jay. I hope that you can understand his English. He's a very intelligent man, as you can tell, but his English, you know, is very with a very thick accent. But I could understand it as I talked to him and as I later listened to it. And then at the end, they end with hope. And stay tuned for a couple of comments at the end of the podcast. I'm happy today to be able to talk to some new friends who are from Taiwan, now pastoring in America. I'm going to call them Jay and Grace, husband and wife, and they have some very interesting information that I was talking to them about earlier, and I asked them if I could record it for my podcast. First of all, hello to both of you.
Hi.
Hello, Steve.
First of all, I want to ask Grace, who was in Taiwan to visit family and was actually stuck in January and February and only got home a couple of days ago. What can you tell us, having been, I realize it's not mainland China, it used to be a part of China before the Great Revolution, but what can you tell us about the church? I'll tell my listeners that you pastor a church here in America now, a Chinese church, And so tell us what's happening with the Wuhan coronavirus.
Yes, the Taiwan government took a very, very cautious reaction to this virus. And we have the health and the welfare department head on the TV twice a day, morning and evening, to report how many cases are found, how many confirmed, and how many are in the hospital to be quarantined. And with all the statistics, we are very secured. And also they distribute the masks around the area. And they told us which drugstore has the mask, how much they have left. So we can see all this information on our cell phone.
And of course, we can get some of this information from our own news media, but not very often does someone come back from that part of the world and can tell us what's happening with the church. Of course, they probably are not holding services. What is exactly happening, and how are the Christians responding?
In the beginning, like in January, the church still hold their gatherings, but all the congregations wear masks. But the messages are very encouraging, you know, ask us to look at the situation with a positive view, with a divine view, why God allowed this to happen. And we look at in the much more encouraging view is it hold the family together, it give us more time to stay home, and give us the opportunity to live in a more simple life instead of, you know, traveling around so busy and forgot we have a God.
And why do you think God did allow this virus?
I think he's going to shape us. And I think the ending time is very close. The window is getting narrow now. So we have to be the true disciples. The true disciples entering the narrow gate. And we need much, much quiet time before our God. So we're going to be like those five virgins with oil in our lamp.
Now, I interviewed Pastor Jay several weeks ago. I did not publish the interview, but he gave it to me as background and was getting reports via the internet and other ways from people either that he knew in China or people from your church who knew people in China, and was telling me also some things about the government and how they covered it up and about a special P4 lab that was suspected as perhaps being where the virus started. Pastor Jay, what can you elaborate to tell my listeners about what is happening from your point of view?
Well, originally, I heard about this virus from the internet and one of the general from Israel. I said colonel, not general. From Israel, retired colonel from Israel, and he used to work in the P4 lab many years ago. So he suspect the virus could come from the P4 lab because it's very virulent and spread very fast. That's the first thing. And the later days, and some a group of scientists, they discovered that the virus, the genetic sequence. There are three parts of genetic sequence. One is the main genetic sequence, probably about 60 to 70% is from the original SARS virus. And there are two portions of so-called newly discovered portion. One is from Ebola, and one is from HIV. That's why the Ebola also very contagious and very deadly. But however, HIV can hide in our body for longer than 10 years. So there are based on these two new characteristics, and they suspect this has been man-made. And then, according to when they publicized for my own scientific background, I used to be the work in the genetic field, especially for the evolutionary genetics. So I know if a virus, for example, there's a new virus, and they compare with old other like a SARS virus, to include those two pieces of new segment of the so-called RNA segments, it may take about like at least 87 years, 8,000 years. So it's not, so that's why it's not a naturally born new virus. Has to be somehow manufactured. And that's why I suspect that this virus spread so quick and so dangerous. That's the beginning. Then I start to look at other information. Then other scientists also found out the information, which way back to year 2015, 2017 time frame, from the P4 lab, there is a doctor, Dr. Shi Zhengli. He manufactured a very similar like our COVID-19 virus, very similar. And he already do some testing in the lab for one of the animals. I couldn't remember. But then to the monkey, that was way back to late year 2018 and the 2019 time frame. So this is all published in the top notch the world journals and the publication. For example, like Nature, Science, those are very famous. And the other one is, I just know the Chinese name called Liu Ye Dao. So they can go back to check the journals. That's secondly. And thirdly, for those publications, and one of the medical school from Boston, and they used to have a joint adventure with the people that with Shi Zhengli, and they withdrew. They found out that this can in fact cause the highly virulent virus. They don't know why this can be weaponized. The point is this can be used for the biological weapon. So they cut the funding, they withdrew and cut the funding.
So you're saying that the French found out that this could be used for biological warfare, which is not what they wanted. The French had done a joint venture with the Chinese after SARS to try to deal with basically it not happening again, but somehow the military got involved and the French pulled out. And so now people are saying that it came from this lab. Am I saying it right?
Yes, thank you. You mentioned that. Yeah, I forgot to mention that piece, the beginning of the design of the people lab was started from the year 2003, I believe 2003, because the French want to have a good relation, especially economic relation with China. So the president agreed with the Made in China government, Communist Party, to build this. Originally, is for the research purpose. And that's why in the contract, on the contract, only for the research, not for the military purpose. However, the last phase of the people lab was built or established. Actually, government, the China took it over. So they kind of redesigned the people lab. So the bottom layer is for the military use. And the top three layers, just like a normal people lab.
Well, that's very interesting. Let me ask you about your own church. You're in the United States. Churches are not meeting, of course, here in the United States. How has this affected your church, and how are you coping?
First, the people heard about this virus. People, especially our church, two-thirds of our church are children and youth. Only one-third are adults. So our church is not big, but because of the higher number of the children and the youth, the parents are very afraid. So they suggest they don't want to come to church. Even I conduct the service in the church, they won't come here. So we decided to do it online instead of the church in the church.
And what do you think about the steps that the United States government, especially President Trump, are taking in terms of closing the borders and telling people to not be in large groups and so forth and trying to find some kind of cure? What is your opinion as you listen to the news like the rest of us?
Okay, I will give you my own opinion. Maybe my wife can give her opinion, but we may have a different opinions. My opinion is President Trump did the right thing, but a little bit late. If we can do it early to cut off the traffic, transportation between the mainland China and the U.S., then it will be much better. And that's the first thing. And also need to cut off the travels between the European and the U.S. has to be done quicker.
I see. And where do you think this is going to end up? And what do you think that God has a purpose for all this?
Okay, let me give you my opinion first. My opinion is Before I speak, maybe completely different to me. I think the China, especially mainland China, can rise in the last 20 years. And then this happened during our so-called the trade war. This is very interesting. Let's think back. In the last 20 years, especially the mainland China, they entered into the WTO. Throughout the entire WTO 20 years time frame, they rise up very, very quick. Very quick, which is good. Okay, economically or whatever, good, which is good things. But however, in the world, they play an important role, but dishonesty. That's the big concern. And we knew that many years ago. When I came to the U.S. and later days, I found out, is there any way we can stop that, you know, the huge, you know, trade deficit with mainland China? And my friend, you know, from the college, I knew that. Yeah, he stole a lot of important medical information shipped to China. And I know that it's a Confucius Institute in U.S. Also a way to infiltrate in the U.S., especially the media. But I had a very, very big concern because I am here. I really don't like these things happen. So I kind of pulled Trump. I said very clearly, I pulled Trump. We got to have some way to cut off unethical way to do business. Person, and they come back to this plague. My view is, I use the second chronicle, actually end of the first chronicle, and the last chapter, probably also the second Samuel. David, see, because David, you know, want to count the people. How many people in Israel and under his reign, and I think that this is the kind of one who should be proud to show off himself, and later he regret and he confess. Same thing happened. If we look at the whole world, Chinese rise up, good, okay, that's good. If we do it fairly with the other country, which is perfect, but however, it's very, very aggressive. Not only to the southern South China Sea and also to Taiwan, and the other, another place, the Hong Kong.
Your perspective is very interesting. It's one we don't hear very often. As we wrap this up, because it's gone a little bit long, do either of you have a word for other Christians, especially ones who might be worried on, you know, how they should approach this and what you think is going to happen in the future?
I think it's important for all us. Especially in our church, we have a chained prayer, a fasting. Every day we have a chained fasting. We pray for the country, and we also pray for the world. And also, earlier we also pray for the men in China. We consider every single soul is God. God cares. God, you know, sympathize, has compassion to all the souls. The souls is more important than the politics. That's our prayer.
Yes, I agree. And I think we need to kneel down to repent. I pray our leaders of the country can lead us to repent, and all the church leaders can start repenting prayers in the church. And I believe, just like in the Second Samuel, when David led his whole country to repent, Jehovah will stop the plague.
Well, thank you very much for that perspective and for talking to me today on my podcast to Pastor Jay and his wife, Grace. You know, as we continue to follow this very important story, it's something that's never happened in any of our lifetime. We're trying to piece together exactly what's happened, what's going on with the government. And also, as Christians, we're concerned about Christians over there and also Christians here. I mean, churches basically are not meeting right now. And the prophets have spoken up, and most of the prophets that I've interviewed are saying that this will actually wrap up around Passover, which is not too long from now. So we hope and pray that that actually happens. It's also interesting that most of the Christian leaders, including Jay and Grace, say that some good things are happening. In fact, my friend Larry Tomczak in his podcast called Here's the Deal talked about seven good things that God is doing during the coronavirus crisis. And I urge you to look it up on the Charisma Podcast Network. But, you know, he quoted something from Winston Churchill that he said during the midst of the Nazi invasion. Quote, a pessimist sees calamity in every opportunity, but an optimist sees an opportunity in every calamity. What helps us in this time of viral invasion is recognizing the good things that God is doing in us and through this tumultuous time to draw people to himself. We need to come to agreement as Christians to learn the lesson that God intends and remain thankful in, but not necessarily for, all that is taking place. And then he cites 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So check out what Larry has to say. Remember to pray. Remember to check out our podcast. We have more and more coming out. We're just trying to get out information that others are not covering. And then we're relying on people like you to share this far and wide. We do have social media to get the word out. Also, I may encourage you, while you have a little bit more time at home, to check out my new book, God, Trump, and the 2020 Election. You know, there's some very big things happening. And I believe that the enemy is actually attacking this president. And another podcast that I just recorded that I haven't put up yet is with a prophet named Jeremiah Johnson, who has some very interesting insight about that. You can get my book on any of the online booksellers or, of course, through Kindle, or you can actually get it on Audible and listen to it. Or you can order it from us at godtrump2020.com. I believe that you'll enjoy reading it. And we talk about the spiritual issues. I don't discuss the virus, of course, but I talk about how there are several things that could happen that would actually cause Donald Trump to lose. And I'm very concerned about that. They're saying that this whole thing with the economy going down so much is actually an existential threat to his reelection, which is why I wanted to mention it in the context of this podcast. Thank you for listening to the Strang Report today on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.